All right, daily bread. And as you're turning there, you might want to take out your outline. All right, daily bread. And the only reason I have this covered is because I'd like to invite you all to break bread with me after the service this morning there in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a fellowship dinner, fellowship lunch, and then a fellowship meeting after, okay? Called a congregation meeting. Okay, so you're more than welcome to partake as we break bread together. Well, follow with me as I read from chapter 6 of Matthew. Are you all there? Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. And let's read that little pericope, that little explanation the Lord has about forgiveness too, because it ties directly into the prayer, the model prayer that he gives. Now, this then is how you should pray. Pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We're looking at verse 11. How many here, now without raising your hand, okay? We don't want to embarrass anybody, but how many of us here this morning pray for our daily bread today? It's interesting. It's not unusual to tie in prayer with eating. We call that grace, saying grace, praying a prayer of thanksgiving for the food that we're about to partake. But here, in the Lord's model prayer for the disciples, which includes you and I also, it's not a necessarily a thanksgiving prayer for what we have received, but a petition and supplication to receive bread today, our daily bread. Well, I've recently found a new approach to prayer in relationship to eating. Let me share this with you. It really from Sharon Espeset. Her 5-year-old nephew, Carmen, is a picky eater. Now, we don't have any picky eaters in our families, do we? All right. He was at her parents' house for dinner, and her dad's rule was that you must taste a little of everything on your plate. Well, looking at his food, Carmen asked, he said, Grandpa, would it be okay if I prayed to God, if I asked God to help me with my dinner? And of course, grandfather didn't want to discourage in any way any expression of faith that his grandson had. So the granddad agreed, and Carmen bowed his head and he prayed silently, and he then divided up the food on his plate and ate what he liked. What about the rest, his grandfather asked. He said, well, that's God's part. We made a deal. Another way of praying in relationship to eating. But it says here, of course, in this model prayer, give us today our daily bread. We'll take a look at that. Bread, you probably have studied or probably have known in the Middle East. I make reference to the bread that's sold in abundance here in Jerusalem. In fact, any city or village you go to, they always have fresh bread every morning and throughout the day too. Bread in the ancient Near East culture especially was something very special. It wasn't just bread. In fact, it had almost a sanctified view of what it represented, because it wasn't just a staff of life. That was indeed a bread culture and still is today. It wasn't just a staff of life, but bread was a symbol of life and still is today there. In fact, whenever the Jewish family and even the Bedouin families, when they had bread, whether it be in a loaf or whatnot, they would never cut it with a knife. They would always break it with their hands because of the sacred sense and symbol of what bread meant. It's also said that even amongst the Bedouins, not just the Jewish households, and well not, but the Bedouins, if you sat down and you broke bread with them, you were in a very close and deep fellowship with them. And oftentimes when they would set a covenant between people, they would break bread together as a sign and symbol of their commitment to that life covenant that they shared together. Bread is very significant. The Lord could have said, give us this day our daily meat. He used the word meat before, He could have said, give us this day our daily supply. He would have covered all of that too. He could have said, give us this day our daily groceries, because of many different things that we need. But he didn't. He said, give us this day our daily bread. And partly because, I believe, because of the significance of what bread represents, not only in the culture, but take a look at your outline, see how significant bread was a symbol of truth and experience in the Hebrew household. The unleavened bread of Passover was a very significant time. In fact, it became so significant, the unleavened bread of Passover, it extended into 7 days of the unleavened bread feast, representing, if you will, purity and without sin. The bread of the presence, there in the table of showbread, there in the tabernacle as well as in the temple, being the Lord's presence there in the holy place. There were 12 loaves that were put on that table, and each loaf represented Israel. Remember again, bread was also the symbol of life and represented life, because what it conveyed in a sustained life. And so the bread loaves were representative of the life of each tribe. And so you had 12 tribes on the showbread table and the presence. And it's always referred to as the bread of the presence. Now, meant Israel was represented there in those 12 loaves in the very presence of God, as God would minister to the nation Israel, tribe by tribe by tribe. But also we see that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He gives life and sustains that life that he gives. The bread of the Lord's table, of course, we see as a symbolizing Christ's sacrifice for us. Another truth that's conveyed in the symbol of bread is that the unity of the church as one bread. Paul uses that symbol of one loaf representing the unity of the body of Christ there in 1 Corinthians. And then, of course, the last one, requesting for our daily bread. Now, we can't over-spiritualize this. I know that sometimes you read different commentators and that's over-spiritualized. The daily bread is just spiritual needs, kingdom needs. Well, it's both physical and spiritual, I believe. And we'll try to show you why from God's word, that it encompasses both our physical needs, as we look to God's supply for those physical needs, as well as our spiritual needs. When I talk about physical needs, that the bread represents as far as your life and my life, your family and my family, the church family, it would certainly encompass our health, our daily needs, our finances, our clothes, our shelter. I mean, you see, because the Lord is using the word bread, not only that it's a symbol of sustaining life and the sustenance of life, but as a symbol encompassing all the needs that we have in life, both physical and spiritual. Paul reminds us that the kingdom of God does not consist in eating and drinking alone, but in righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Spirit. So why don't we normally pray this prayer? Except maybe together, as we were, say, during a litany of service, and we were saying, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Or maybe it is your habit as you pray at home. But why do we typically not pray this prayer, or this part of the prayer, give us today our daily bread? I think for a number of reasons we don't think about praying that as a prayer, and yet the Lord instructs us and commands us to pray that. Here, a writing by Sinclair Ferguson. If you would just follow with me as I read, I think he captures a real reason in our culture, in our Christian culture here in the United States, why we don't see the importance and the power of praying that prayer, give us our daily bread. In the Western world, we have become so accustomed to our extraordinary affluence. None of us are starving. But there are people who are starving around the world. We are in an affluent society. One of the reasons why many people want to come here. In our extraordinary affluence, that many of us, this petition has lost its power. He goes on to write that can only be because we have lost a biblical view of life. And I believe he's right. We have lost a biblical view of life and the necessity of this particular aspect that we're taught in the Disciples' Prayer. The food we eat is ours only because God upholds our universe and gives seed time and harvest. And beyond that, the food we eat nourishes us only because he blesses us. So both the provision of our food, our bread, the nourishment that it has for our bodies, our health, the enablement that he has for us to work, to minister, to enjoy life and glorify him, all of that is through God's divine and good providence for us. And so it's important as we see this, petition that we have in the prayer. Why should we pray for this? Why should we pray this prayer? I've given you a number, but first and foremost, the reason why we should pray this prayer is because Christ instructs us to pray that prayer. I know I've met Christians say, but Bill, I work, and I work really hard. You don't know what I put up with at work. My people that I work for, people that work with me, I put up with a lot of, well, you know what. And I work hard, and I earn my money at the end of the week to buy my meals and to buy food for my family. I did it. Oh, really? I know a lot of people that have lost their jobs, and you do too. I know a lot of people that have lost their health, and they wish they had health that they could work. You see how relevant this prayer is. Give us this day our daily bread is indeed a very real and powerful petition from the heart of a child of God that's saying, Lord, I'm totally reliant upon you. I'm praying for my daily bread for my family. I'm praying for our daily bread as a church. Interesting, the plural pronoun us is there. And I think the Lord intended not only that to be a private prayer individually, not only to be a household prayer, but to be a church prayer too. Now, maybe not in those exact words, but how simple and yet how profound that verse is. Give us today our daily bread. So one of the reasons why we should pray a petition such as that and not think that we've done it in our own strength, in our own mentality, in our own whatever it might be, but God is providing that. First and foremost, because Christ instructs us to do that, but I've also given you some other reasons from the Bible why we should be praying this as a family, as a church family. I'm encouraged that we're having cottage prayer groups. And in our cottage prayer groups, we were praying the very essence of this prayer. Lord, provide for our needs as a church, for ministries, for your gospel, for your kingdom. Because it's not all about me, not all about you. But God knows about you and he knows about me. And he really wants us to pray and supplicate his supply. Well, one of the biblical reasons why we should be praying a prayer like this is so that we won't worry. In fact, I find it interesting, in the very chapter the Lord talks about worry, he introduces this prayer and other instructions too. In fact, that was just read off the screen this morning as we went through the scriptures. So one of the reasons is that we would not worry because God will provide. I know I never get tired of saying it, but maybe you get tired of hearing this. But that's okay. God's work, done God's way, for God's glory, will never lack his supply. We have seen that so many times. Another reason that we affirm by saying, give us this day our daily bread, we are affirming our trust and utter dependence upon God for all things. We've given you a number of verses. We won't necessarily go there. But one verse we will go to for the next two reasons. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs verse 30. Two additional reasons that we draw out of this passage and also other passages that support it. Another reason that we should be praying the sentiment of this prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, is that we would not become proud in our abundance. Notice what it says in Proverbs verse 30, verses 7 through 9. This is the inspiration of God through his word to your heart and to my heart. Notice what the writer says. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily what? Bread. Now why? Why? Well, for two other reasons. Why? Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? I've done all this. One of the reasons you and I should pray every day, if there is sentiment of this, give us this day, give me this day my daily bread, give us, our church family, this day our daily bread, is that we would not become proud about our abundance, But we're acknowledging before God in that prayer, Lord, you own it all. I am yours. And all that I have is from you and from your blessed hand. Another reason, take a look. Second reason in this verse 9. Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. You see what the writer of Proverbs is talking about? He is so utterly dependent and wants to be humbly dependent upon God that he would not become proud and say, look what I've done. Or that he would not. That he would not be dishonest or steal or do something of corruption to provide what he thinks his needs are. Both of those realities are real possibilities, aren't they? And so the writer of Proverbs said, another reason, if you will, number 6 on your outline there, that through his gracious supply of our daily bread, whatever that daily bread might be in our needs, but in his gracious supply of our daily bread, our health, our supply, our shelter, our food, whatever that may be, is so that you and I can be generous to other people. That's another reason why you and I should be praying such a prayer. That we would be generous to others. I praise the Lord. We have a food pantry. It's been functioning now for quite a few years. I thank the ladies who are involved in that. Carolyn and Evelyn, and there's many others. There's Rachel, and there's Ron. We have a delivery system with Kate Sanders and the kids from Brookside. Is it Brookdale? They come and pack the bags. You know, a lot of people are involved in this, and you and I are involved in it as well. One of the reasons why we should be praying such a prayer, a petition like this, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that we can also, out of your abundant supply to us, give to the needs of others. And we are, praise God. Now, if you haven't given to the food pantry this month, would you consider making that donation? That donation of the daily bread that God has bountifully provided for you and your family, and taking that portion that God would have you to give. And the last reason of the 7 that we have here, ultimately that God would be glorified. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and they had problems. That was a problem church, but it was also a growing church. In spite of the problems, because Paul was constantly showing them that their problems were there because God allowed those things to come up to the surface so they could really begin to see the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Have you seen that in your life? How God allows things to come up in your marriage? How God allows things to come up in your family? How God even allows things to come up in our church family of all places? Yes. So you and I can see the great sufficiency and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Also, Paul says, so whether you eat or drink, do it all. Do it all for the glory of God. You see, ultimately, when you and I pray such a prayer as this, give us today our daily bread, it's ultimately for the glory of God. So a number of reasons from the Bible. So you might have, well, let me ask you a question here. Does God really supply our daily needs? Or is it you and I? And I didn't ask, can God? Oftentimes we give lip service, yes, God can. And I didn't say, will God provide? That isn't the question. Would you take a look at the question right now? Does God really supply your daily bread? Well, let's ask a few people in Scripture. If God supplied their daily bread. Let's ask Moses, for instance. Take a look at what Moses says to the people of God, both warning and witness of how God supplies. You have there in your outline before you. Let's ask Moses. Remember, he says, and this is the passage that begins with remember. Don't forget this, because so easy we are to forget. I forget. I've got a good forgetter. It's getting better all the time. But there's things that I do not want to forget. I don't want to forget my Savior. I don't want to forget that I'm saved by grace through faith in Him. I don't want to forget that Jesus is coming back. I don't want to forget that I've got to be actively involved, living the gospel out and sharing it with others. I don't want to forget the elements of the gospel. I don't want to forget my brothers and sisters in Christ in prayer. Oh, there's many things that we don't want to forget. Things that we really, really want to remember. Is that true for you too? And here in Deuteronomy, Moses reminds God's people, remember this, when he said, don't forget this. He gave you manna. That was, for them, that was bread from heaven. God provided manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. One of the reasons God supplies our daily bread so it will go well with you and me. But let's take a look at what he says. You may say to yourself, now this is a possibility. That's what the writer of Proverbs was saying. My power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. How many of us have ever thought that? I don't need to have your hands raised, but I tell you, I've thought that at times. And God humbles me and reminds me, no, Bill, that very next heartbeat of your heart is from me. Now, Larry said I should slap the pulpit here. Okay? So, Larry, that very next, that hand raise is from God. You need to know that, brother. Okay. And you need to know that the very next breath, as with all of us, is from God. Okay? That's what Moses is saying. Lest we forget, and we say, my power, my strength, and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, again, the word remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce what? Wealth. Now, he's not talking about them all being millionaires, but he's talking about that financial capacity of his supply for your family, for their family, for their extended families. And so he's saying here, remember, don't forget. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth so that confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Two things that are in that passage. The warning and the witness. God warns us so we have a biblical view of life, that we didn't do it on our own hook. None of us have. But the witnesses, we give glory to him. Well, let's ask somebody else, okay? Let's ask David. What does David say? Men after God's own heart. Don't you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? David says this, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You see, David knew that. Even as a shepherd boy, he knew that he was dependent. He relied on the Lord God, the God of the covenant. And David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's continue on there. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the quiet waters. You see, David had that shepherd mentality. And he realized just as important the shepherd was for the flock, God, our shepherd, is important for his flock, his people. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He feeds me in green pastures. He provides the running waters. But notice something else that David says, and this is from David. Take a look at what he says there from Psalm 37. I was young, and now I am old. How many of us can say that right now? Just raise your hand. Okay? I was young. Do you remember? I am old. But notice what he says, because of the good hand of God's providence. Take a look what he says. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen, underline this, I have never seen the righteous forsake or their children begging bread. Why? Because David understood with all of his heart and mind and soul, and he would pray a prayer with a sentiment of this, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you are our shepherd. We are the sheep of your fold, your pasture. Lord, you are so faithful to your covenant. I have been young, I am now old, and I have not seen child of the righteous begging for bread. Now, we were in Indonesia, we saw a lot of beggars. Some, that was their profession. Some, after they finished the day of their begging, of course, that was their 8-hour job or 10-hour job. They go and they change their clothes and get into their car and go home. Literally. But there are some that are truly beggars. Isn't it sad, though, that some children of God's children are beggars spiritually? You see, when you and I pray that God will provide this day our daily bread from him, it includes also physical and spiritual blessings upon our family and God's household. Well, let's go to another. How about Elijah? Remember Elijah there on Mount Carmel? And then he ran away from a woman. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Well, Jezebel was not just any old woman. And she had it within her capacity, although she thought, to do ill towards Elijah. But Elijah was under the divine protection promise of God. But he still ran. Have you ever ran in from anything? Maybe you're running from a financial debt. Maybe you're running from some other kind of debt. Maybe you're running from some other relational debt. Which I believe that bread that God gives us in his Son Jesus Christ, the living bread, addresses all of those issues. But let's take a look. I don't want to get too far afield here. Let's ask Elijah. Well, Elijah, how does God provide your daily bread? Well, take a look what we have there. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here and turn eastward and hide in the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook that I have watered the ravens to feed you there. Wow, awesome. It wasn't just takeout. It was more than takeout. It was delivery. Isn't that neat? Yeah. You know, sometimes the Lord does use something extraordinary. Not just our work that he provides, health and strength and opportunity to work. Sometimes we've seen it. Have you seen that in your life? Have you seen that in your family? Have we seen that in God's church? Where sometimes God does things extraordinary to provide our daily bread? Maybe it's discovering something you never knew was there. Maybe it's finding something. Like maybe you did your checkbook and you reconciled and all of a sudden you say, oh wow, I didn't put that in last month, an extra $100. Praise God. Or maybe it's something other. Maybe it's a gift that God has orchestrated as part of his daily bread for you and for your family. You see, God's hands are not tied. He can do the takeout or he can do the delivery. Okay? And so let's go on. Well, let's ask Paul. Well, Paul, does God provide your daily bread? Yes. In fact, he says, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul was writing to the church there in Philippi. A church that was richly blessed, a church that was joyful in many ways, but a church that was also had a division. Can you imagine a church having division? I can't. Can you? Well, yes, we can. Yeah, Paul's letter of joy to the Philippians, and one of the reasons he was trying to strengthen them, encourage them, and remind them that God will provide all of their needs, yes, their daily bread. Their daily bread for not only their individuals, not only for their families, but for the church family. Because there was a schism. There was a schism between two ladies in that church. Oh, that can't happen, can it? Yes, it can. So that's what Paul was saying. My God will supply all of your needs. Yes, even the healing of that schism. Healing of those relationships. According to his riches. I like that. Not according to Errol's riches. Now, he's a rich dude, okay? Errol said, who, me? I'm only joking. But aren't you glad he says, according to the riches that God has in Christ Jesus? He who was rich beyond our imagination became poor for you and I, so that in Christ's poverty on the cross, you and I could be made rich. Let's go on very quickly. Let's ask the greatest of all, Jesus Christ. The last shall be first because he is the foremost. Well, Lord Jesus, does God the Father supply every daily need, every daily bread? And this is what Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. That's a promise from God the Son, from God the Father, from God the Spirit. All three are involved. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that we don't ask him for our physical needs. But he's talking about priorities. Talk about priorities. Again, that give us this day our daily bread does not mean that it's totally spiritualized. In the same sermon, he talks about ask, seek, and knock. And then he gives the example that you have right here. Let's take a look at that example. He says, which of you, if he has a son, asks for bread and will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And sometimes we give gifts to our children for wrong motives, for evil motives. Oh, I'm not talking about gross evilness and gross wickedness. But sometimes, if you will, let me share with you a little bit about evilness in a family. If I give gifts to my one son at the exclusion given to the other son, I have showed what? Preference for the one. That's evil. That's evil. If I give gifts to my child because I don't spend enough time with my child and invest my life in his life or her life, and I think that by giving gifts, I can satisfy and fulfill their life and build a relationship with them, that's evil. That's evil. Things don't make a relationship, but people do. I believe that's also in what the context of the Lord is saying here. You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? Circle that. How much more will your Heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him? Father, give us this day our daily bread. I find it interesting. If you take a look at that phrase, give us today our daily bread, He could have just said, give us our bread today. But it's an interesting way the Lord has, under the inspiration that Matthew has recorded this, in quoting the Lord. Give us today, that part of this request or petition is our utter dependence upon God today. Give us today, Lord. Give us today what we need for our family. Give us today what we need for your church. Give us today what we need to give others out of your abundance to us. Give us today. So it has that utter dependence upon today. You know, the only thing you and I can depend on right now is today. Okay? Now the other part, our daily bread, in fact, it's interesting. That's the only place that this word is used in the New Testament. And it's two chronological terms. And what it's saying is that I have a dependence today for what God will supply through my needs, but I also have confidence for tomorrow. Beloved, isn't that what faith is? Isn't that what your faith is in Jesus Christ? Utter dependence upon Him for today and a confidence for Him for the future and eternity? That's what a living faith is. It's dependence and confidence. Depends upon what God has done alone for my salvation and for my supply, but also confidence that that same loving, self-sacrificing, faithful God will provide all of my needs for tomorrow, because He's promised. So give us today our daily bread. He's encompassing both today, dependence, and tomorrow, our confidence. You see, the reason He put that in there is so you and I would not become presumptuous. By that I mean, but we don't take life for granted. Do you take life for granted? I pray you don't. I believe He's saying this also because it's about life, your life, my life, our life together. It's so that we don't become complacent about the gifts of God every day. And why this petition is in there, in this model of prayer, is also that we don't become proud and begin to forget who God is and what God has done and is doing and will do. You see the utter importance of that phrase, of that petition? Give us today, Lord. Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread. Why does He do that? Because He loves us. That's why He does it. Because He loves you. He loves me. Turn with me to 720 in your hymn book. Hymn number 720. Before we close this message, I want to stand and just sing, Jesus loves even me. You see, that's why the Lord has put those petitions there. Three petitions Godward, four petitions usward. Give us today our daily bread. Would you stand with me as we sing verses 1, 2, and 3? Jesus loves even me. Number 720.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me.
person to your next to you, Jesus loves even you. He does. Will you tell that to each one? Now, you may be seated. Turn with me to the last part. Our Father's personal invitation. Maybe you've left your first life like the believers there at the church in Ephesus. Sometimes we have. I didn't say you've lost your first love. God didn't say that of them. But they left their first love. They drifted away. And we are prone to drift away. I am. You are too. So I want to read God's invitation to you. But maybe you're here this morning and you've been coming to this church for years. Maybe you've been born and you've been raised in a Christian family. It's not a case that you left your first love or you lost your first love, but you never had your first love. I'm talking about that love relationship with Jesus Christ. So maybe you're there. I don't know. But I know the Lord loves you. And I know the Lord wants to bring you into a saving relationship with Him where you can say, Heavenly Father, give me today my daily bread. Because if you don't know Him as your Heavenly Father, you really can't pray such a prayer. But isn't it wonderful? Because Jesus loves you. God has given us this invitation. And it's about not just eating, but more than eating. Take a look, if you will, at what you have in your bulletin before you. Notice, if you will, the number of times the word come. He's inviting us. It's an invitational passage. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 3. Maybe you've read this before. Maybe you've read it and you said, yeah, no, I don't care. I'm not coming. Or maybe you said, Lord, I've come. 10 years ago, I came. And Lord, I experienced that salvation. But Lord, I'm going to be honest with you right now. And the Lord knows you. You don't have to be honest with Him only. But you do need to be honest with Him. But He knows everything. Maybe you're right here and you say, Lord, I've drifted. I'm hearing you say, come. Five things from this passage. Take a look. Let me read the passage first. Come, all you who are thirsty. Are you thirsty for more? Last week I said, I'm tired of playing church. Are you tired of playing church? You know what playing church is? Just going through the routine. Coming to church and not really hearing God's words speak to you? Where the Logos of God doesn't become the Rhema of God in your soul and your heart and your mind? Where the Word of God doesn't effectually work in your heart, your marriage, and your family? And you say, well, that's okay. That's the way to look at everybody else. It's the same for them. No, it's not the same for them. Not for everybody. Are you tired of playing church? Maybe God is saying to you today, come. And He says it a number of times, come. Come. Let Him change your life. Let Him be that living bread in your life, in your marriage, in your family, with your children. Let Him be that living bread here in this church family of ours. He says, come. It's an invitation. Come, and you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. Because it's free. You don't have to buy it. You can't buy it. If you come expecting to buy it, God will judge you for it. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money for what is not bread? Now he's talking about what he's talking about in the prayer. Are you spending things for things that are not bread? Things that it goes on to say your labor for what does not satisfy? I've been there. Maybe we've been there as a church too. I don't know. But God says, come, that I do know. Come. Listen to me. Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love, promised to David. What an illustration. Centuries after David lived and died and went into the presence of the Lord, still using David as an example. Yes, David had his warts. He had his scars. He had his faults and his failures, like you and me. But David, the Lord did say of David, he was a man after my own heart. And God is asking you and I to come into that same heart relationship. Come. Five things. The invitation to come to Him is to receive that which is truly satisfying. Are you tired of things of this world that are not really satisfying? Because in your heart and your soul, you know that there's something more. That there's something more that God means for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for our church? Or are we going to keep playing church? Come. It's an invitation to come and listen to him. I mean, really listen to him. Notice he ties in the word listen and hear. Sometimes we listen, but we don't hear. How many times have you done that with your wife? Huh? I mean, I got that turned to a skill. I even respond. That's why, exactly, right. You know what I mean? The same thing with God. That's why he says, come, listen to me, and hear me. Come. Is there a part of your life, your marriage, your family, that you know God has to work in? And you've been trying so hard yourself, and it ain't been happening? God says, come. Come. So that you can renew that relationship, renew that commitment, and you can say, Father, I want that bread that will satisfy truly. Give me today my daily bread for my soul, for my marriage, for my children, for your church. You see how powerful this request is? I pray you do. There is so much repetition of the essence of this request throughout the Word of God. We would be sinning against God if we didn't acknowledge it. And by that I mean, Lord, I need to pray this to you today. Father, give me today our daily bread. It's an invitation to enter into an everlasting covenant with him. An everlasting covenant, he says. Not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. You and I have spent time and energy and all sorts of resources on things that are here today and gone tomorrow. You know that. I have too. I'm tired of playing church.